Grace, mercy, and
peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Inside your bulletins this morning, you have the sermon outline. Of course, that was Pastor's sermon. And I would encourage you during the course of the week to take a look at that and look at those passages from Jeremiah. And I'm sure you'll gain, through the power of the Holy Spirit, a lot of information and knowledge. I am going to share with you from Jeremiah today, chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, which I'll mention those in just a moment. But the theme has been changed from, I believe it was rooted, to who touched the remote control. For the guys who are here, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've heard about a family who was asked by the pastor, how much time do you spend together in meaningful conversation or discussions? And the father, of course, said that they had spent about 2.5 hours a day in meaningful discussions. And that impressed the pastor a great deal. In fact, he told them that that was pretty good. That's more than he spent with his own family. So what kinds of things then do you discuss? And so the mom, of course, had a different perspective. She began to roll her eyes and she began to volunteer additional information that, of course, the father had left out. We only discuss one thing, she said. Who gets to hold the remote control for the television? The remote control. I know that we all have them. We probably have 3 or 4 in your own household, as my household does. I think we have 4 televisions, and each television has 2 remote controls involved, one to control the picture, the other for the volume. And so they are a big part of our daily lives. But I thought about this at home. What happens when the remote control is lost? Well, I've come up with a solution. I call it the Lock-Ator. L-O-C, number 8, T-O-R, the Lock-Ator. It's a remote control for remotes. You know, they disappear sometimes, and I'm sure you've all gone through that. You spend, 30, 40 minutes looking for that remote, and your blood pressure begins to rise, and things keep going up. Or how about, ladies, I know I've heard stories about this. How about mislaid car keys? Wouldn't it be great if everything in the house had a locator button and all you had to do was to press it? And then you find that missing thing. And that's what a Lock-Ator does. It has a radio signal, and it has tiny tags that you put on these different devices. And you press the button, and it has a 600-foot range, so you can find whatever it is that you've lost. The tag starts to chirp, and it starts to blink, and that locator then takes you to the right direction of where your missing piece of equipment is. It's what I call the GPS for all your remotes. But then I began to think, what happens if you lose the locator? Well, so what is all this talk this morning about remote controls? It has a lot to do with us, because a lot of us go through life as if we are on a remote control. We have daily routines and procedures that we follow, and we fall into those things because they're very comfortable habits to be involved in. For me, for example, my alarm is set for 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'd set it there because I can push the snooze button twice before I actually have to get up. And the first thing you do, maybe, and for some of you, is to pour that cup of coffee, and then you head to the bathroom to get ready for work. Perhaps you pop something into the toaster or the toaster oven, and you walk out, and maybe some of you have papers that you have to get. Some of you may flip on the television set to see what the news is for the day as you walk by. And while you're eating breakfast then, you look at the paper and you begin to drink that second cup of coffee. Right, Mr. Erickson? Or for you, I think it's third or fourth, right? Yeah. And then it's time to get in the car and off to work. Or maybe for you moms, it's time to get the kids up and dressed for school. And we do this all out of habits that we have developed. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. It's part of who we are. It's part of being human beings. Most of the time, we like routines. Why? Because they're safe. They're comfortable. You know, there's no challenge except to pick out the flavor of the Pop-Tart that morning, or what flavor of Eggo you're going to have, or the toaster waffles you're going to have for breakfast. Life is stress-free, and that's the point. Because there's so much stress in our lives. But what happens, though, when life on that remote suddenly goes haywire? Things get out of whack. What happens when it all falls apart? What do we do? How do we handle it? Well, the prophet Jeremiah has something to say about that to us this morning. And I'm sharing with you now verses 7 and 8. And I think, Dan, you have those for the screen. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So, when the remote control of our lives goes haywire, what do we do? How do we handle it? How do we get through it? I think it all depends on what I call today an acronym I have for this message. It's called CROPS. C-R-O-P-S. CROPS. It all depends on crops that we have planted and have nurtured. And I'm talking about really spiritual crops. CROPS, an acronym that we're going to share this morning. The first letter, the letter C, it stands for come humbly before God. So the first thing we need to do is to come humbly to our God. There was a fireman once who was explaining to a kindergarten class what to do in case there was a fire. And he said this, first you go to the door, and as many of you know, you're supposed to feel that door and see why, to see if it's hot. Then he said, fall to your knees. Does anyone know why you ought to fall to your knees? One of the little guys popped up with this answer. Sure, to start praying to ask God to get you out of this mess. And that's usually what we do, isn't it? We fall on our knees and we ask to get out of the mess that we're in. And think about this. I first thought about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night he was betrayed and his arrest. In that midst of a struggle of dealing with what he knew was going to happen to him, what was the first thing that Jesus did? He was on his knees. He was on knees to his God in prayer. And if you remember, the first part of that prayer was, Lord, what? Take this cup from me. And if you read the Psalms, you'll also know that there's a large percentage of them that talk about prayer. Prayer in the midst of struggle. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, O Lord, why do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me, from the words of my groaning? But you know, for all of us, in the end, prayer is really the only answer for us. It's the same prayer of humility like Jesus prayed in that garden that night. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours. And so the first thing we need to do is to come humbly to God and ask for guidance, strength, ask for his wisdom, to use those gifts that God has given us and poured out into our lives. And it is in prayer of humility that we discover that while we may be in the midst of a crisis, it is our Lord who loves us more than we can ever dream of. And so we have the first letter, the C. Second letter, R. Remember, God is in charge. So coming humbly to God is also remembering that God is in charge. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, well, if I were king of the world, I would do so and so. But the problem is not this. The problem is this. We are not king. We are not queen of the world. God has yet to put us in charge of anything. And that's maybe one of the hardest parts that we have to do. There are so many things in life in which God has given us charge as stewards that when we run into something out of our control, we totally freak out. But I'm here to remind you this morning that, remember, the bottom line is God is still in charge. We might be heirs of the kingdom of God, but God hasn't stepped off the throne yet, or he has not passed his crown on to us yet. We are the creatures. We are the ones who were created. And yes, we have partnership with God, but we are not the creator. God is good and perfect, and we are not. Our lives are the composite of many things. They're the composite of good and evil, of light and darkness, of obedience and rebellion. And so, our second letter of our acronym today are, remember that God is still in charge. The next letter, O, own your own feelings. Own what's going on in your own life. God created us with feelings, and it's how we deal with life. We have laughter, we have joy, we have tears, we have anguish, we fear. Maybe there's anger. These are all ways that we can cope, and we do cope with situations that come in our lives. It's how we express them that really affect our lives. Are feelings always appropriate to show? And the answer, of course, to that, not necessarily. For example, when anger turns to rage, that can be very dangerous. But we should own those feelings. There is nothing more potentially dangerous to us than keeping those feelings inside of us. They will come out in one way or another, but if we own them and we own up to them, then we can deal with them. All in constructive ways. And once we own those feelings about life suddenly going out of control, we can better deal with what's going on and begin healing or a recovery process. Next, we come to the letter P in the word crops. Prepare ahead. You know, one of the best ways for us to prepare when life throws us a curve is to prepare ahead of time. How many of you know who Harlan Sanders is? Anybody? Dan, who is he?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's right. Remember Colonel Sanders? Yeah. He had a little capital and a little money for advertising, so he also grew a little beard, and he got a white suit, and as a Kentucky colonel, he became walking advertisement for what? Kentucky Fried Chicken. And as Christians, each one of us is also a walking advertisement for the Christian faith. Sometimes we don't want to be, but we always are. And that's why Paul wrote to the Colossians, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But how do we do that? How do we clothe ourselves with those kinds of things? We do it by planting the seeds that will grow in them day to day through prayer, through worship, through Bible study, and also service. When we put what we say we believe into action, it's like us beginning to weave the cloth that makes those clothes. And finally, we come to the letter S. Share with others. We are called to share with others. We're reminded that everybody has to share. In this case, I'm talking about sharing sorrows. Sorrows because we do live in a fallen world. And those sorrows and those difficulties can become more difficult because even though we could help one another, what happens? Many times, many of us are ashamed. We're ashamed or we're prideful. We don't want to share our burdens of life with others. But our Lord Jesus, in his writings and through the writings of Scripture, also told us that we are to do this. We are to bear one another's burdens. But how can we bear one another's burdens if we are unaware of them taking place? Wouldn't it be great if we had a piece of magic candy that we would choose to eat and that would loosen our tongues? So that we would feel free to share our burdens with one another? Or be kind, the kind of friends that we want people to be to us? I don't think that there is anything that has a power against a group of people who confide in and support one another. And there really is strength in numbers. We are all in need of support system of some kind. Because there is confidence and there is an affection that we experience in love and friendships with one another and respect, we as Christians have lots of things to share with each other. Because within that Christian support system, we can experience both the human and the divine through experiencing God's grace and forgiveness through the lives of others. So there you have it, crops. Well, in conclusion today, I'm going to share with you another little story. Grandma and Grandpa were driving across Kansas on a vacation, and their five-year-old granddaughter was with them. And they were enjoying the sights, which I think are much more extensive than those driving across Nebraska, right? I can get away with that because Pastor's not here this morning. Well, one of the beautiful sights that they experienced was, of course, beautiful fields of corn. The wind was blowing hard, and the grandma commented, you know, it looks like the wind can blow the corn down. And the little five-year-old granddaughter pipes up and says, oh, no, 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 no. It's planted deep, Grandma, and you don't blow down when you're planted deep. Well, each of those five things that I mentioned this morning, those are just like kernels which help us to plant the right crops so that we can be planted deep and reap that best harvest. Again, we're reminded by Jeremiah, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by stream. It shall not fear when its heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. My dear friends in Christ, our Christian faith needs to be planted deep. And it is deep. And why is that? Because we believe. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and that really means something. If Jesus is resurrected, then life is stronger than death. Hope is stronger than despair. And good is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate, and life is much greater than we ever imagined. If Jesus is resurrected, and he is, then God really is in charge. And if God is in charge, then we really don't have anything to worry about when everything our remote control world comes from together to completely apart, because we can know and we can count on the fact that God will see us through. This is the word of our Lord for this day. And we close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, do not let the pressures and the enticements of this world separate any of us from you or your love for us in Jesus Christ. And in his precious name we ask it. And God's people said, Amen. Well, at this time then, I would invite the congregation to stand for, you know, those of you that are able, and we will make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.